Hi, this is James Barris. I hope you find this talk supports you in your practice. If you'd like to support my teaching, you can use the donate button underneath my picture on Dharma Seed to do that. Your support is greatly appreciated.
Well, just when you thought that you'd only have silence, things changed. And we're going to do a bit of a guided meditation this morning about a whole other way to approach or incorporate in your practice. And some of you are quite familiar with this. Others may not be. But to start, I'd like you to just do a little experiment exercise with me, and that is to open your hand wide and take a good look at it right now. And look carefully and see what you see. There's many things to see here. Look carefully. Maybe see, at least three or more different things. Okay, and just for a moment, we can take a few comments, if you can say them really loud so we don't take time with the microphone. If you haven't done this before, just one thing that you see, raise your hand. You do see something. What is that? Wow, that's observant. Noticing the pulse in the palm. Lots of lines, yes. Yeah, light, color. Say again. Okay, different spaces between fingers. How many people saw were looking at the space? Very, very few. This is what we're going to do this morning. Usually, when we look at things, we are drawn to the object. Fingers, the lines, colors. So many things pulsing in the hands. But it's not so common that we see what's most predominant is space. And one could say, oh, I see space with a hand in it. Because we are so drawn to the objects. This meditation is pointing to that perspective. Until now, we've been noticing things, noticing the breath, sounds, sensations, even emotions and thoughts, noticing the intention. Today, we're going to tune more into the space or the awareness in which everything arises. And it is a very, valuable understanding and perspective, and that you can, as you like, play around with it in your practice. And this is what I'm going to do and share is a meditation that Joseph Goldstein first created based on a great Tibetan text, the Tibetan text of the Great Liberation, where in Tibetan practices, this is a common or a usual dimension of the practice to tune into the awareness primarily, even more than the objects within. And there are also analogous practices in Theravadin as well that maybe get into at some point. But it's a wonderful and for me a very illuminating practice. So now I invite us to go inside. And for this meditation, I encourage you to work with stillness. As if possible, be comfortable and work with stillness. And begin by becoming aware of sounds. The sound of my voice, the sounds in the room, sounds outside, softer sounds, louder sounds. And I will also introduce some sounds during this session. Let the mind be open, wide, clear like the sky. Sounds appearing and disappearing in the open clarity of awareness. Listen with care. Impartially, without preference. sounds arising and passing in the vast space of awareness. There's no sounds, notice the sound of silence. Be relaxed and receptive allowing sounds to come and go in the vast space of awareness. Now become aware of sensation as points of feeling like stars in the night sky. No head, no shoulders, or back, or chest, or arms, or legs. Just points of sensation, like stars in the night sky. No inside, no outside, no boundaries or separation. Only sounds and sensations arising and passing in the open space of awareness. Let the mind be relaxed and steady. Perfectly still, allowing sounds and sensations to appear and disappear by themselves in the open stillness of awareness. Now become aware of thoughts and images like clouds passing through the sky. No roots. No home. Arising and vanishing on their own in the open sky of awareness. sounds, sensations, thoughts, images appear and disappear in the vast stillness of awareness. Let the mind be relaxed. Receptive. Perfectly still. No reaching out or pushing away of anything. Allowing sounds, sensation, thoughts, images to arise and pass by themselves in the open stillness of awareness. Now look directly at the nature of awareness. Clear, invisible, like empty space. Without color, without form, it is, but it doesn't tangibly exist. Look directly at awareness. Look directly at awareness, clear, vast, without boundaries, limitless. It contains all things, but isn't composed of them. directly at awareness itself. Awareness is clear, unborn, unformed. It is, but it doesn't tangibly exist. Become aware of awareness itself. No inside, no outside. No boundaries, no limits. Become aware of awareness. Let the mind be relaxed and steady. No reaching out, nor moving away from any experience. Allowing all things to appear and disappear in the open stillness of awareness. For the remainder of the period, you can continue in this way, Just resting in the awareness that allows everything to come and go on its own. No reaching out. No moving away from. No resistance. No attachment. Letting everything arise and pass in the space of awareness. So whatever your experience with this meditation, let it be just how it was. If you dozed off or drifted off or fell asleep, that's quite, it's not uncommon. If you were present and had a sense of just relaxing and not doing and simply receiving the moment in that space of awareness, and you find it helpful, supportive, relaxing, and present, then use it as you find helpful. It's another way to practice. It's not the real way, the best way. Oh, finally, we got the secret teachings. There's lots of different ways to practice. And so it's just another support for your meeting the moment with presence and interest and ease. So we can take some time if there's any questions about that meditation or anything in your practice. And we can take some live questions. So thanks, Kim.
Thank you. That was wonderful. My question is there is it preferred to like go in with one practice and then stick to that, or could you say go in with choiceless awareness and then, you know, get that practice going and at some point feel that you can let go into like the full open awareness. I'm not using the right word, sorry. And I had the same feeling with using an anchor as the breath and then going into choiceless attention. So the question is it preferred to stick to one practice or is it a practice to go and accumulate?
And this is where I, you know, a few nights ago I talked about trusting your intuition. At different times, it might be clear this is what's most supportive. And for some people, you know, just being with the anchor or just doing anapana, just doing the breath, you know, for your whole retreat, you could do that and go into concentration or go into a very steady mind. Others might feel, oh, choiceless awareness, or you might get a sense, if you've been established, if you've gotten really established in all of those modes, at different times, you can play around with it. You know, you might start out, depending upon how present and clear you are, that's the big guideline. If you're very, very present and clear, then in that open space and noticing the awareness in which everything is coming and going, oh, it's wonderful, or choiceless awareness, and you're very clear with the changing objects, great. But if you're kind of, if you're fatigued or starting to get dozing off or drifting away, time to come back and just be with the anchor. So all of these are for you to experiment with and start trusting your intuition. What is going to help me most meet this moment with presence and interest and kindness? There's all the way in the back and then over there.
You. I have a question about the idea of choice point, which I think was talked about a little bit. And maybe this is not a question that I have to follow because it might be overthinking. But I think I'm struggling with, like, where is the choice point if it's all not self, it's all habit? Like, what am I feeding into, I guess?
What are you feeding into?
Yeah.
When you meet a moment in a certain way?
Yeah, yeah. Or if I'm, like, deciding to do or feed a certain energy or inclination, I guess. Like, part of me is trying to decide or trying to think about what that is.
What that is that's choosing?
Yeah.
Just relax and let go of figuring it out. And simply know that, or simply see for yourself, that choice happens on its own. You're not saying, well, you can say, okay, now I'm going to choose to notice this object and now this object and now this object. But actually, if you're very receptive in choiceless awareness, the idea of choiceless, and we've talked about that, choiceless attention, is that you're being receptive and not actively going out to decide. Just awareness decides for you. So I would suggest being more in that receptive mode and without getting too much into the thought of, oh, who's doing the choosing? It's awareness awaring. And you don't need to identify with the awareness. The awareness just happens all on its own. And just settle back and relax and don't analyze too much and just receive the moment as it is. I think there was...
Just to try to line this up with some of the other teachings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we heard about the khandhas and consciousness, which comes into being along with a sense object and a sense base. Mm-hmm. And then I know in the suttas there is language, and I don't know what the Pali terminology would be, but for the deathless and the unconditioned, and then there's citta. Where does awareness fit into all of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. Actually, the word awareness is not found, as far as I know, in the Pali canon. There's attention, there's consciousness, vijnana, that arises and knows the object. There is citta, but awareness itself is not so specifically found in this way. In the Thai forest tradition, there are some analogies to this, but as far as the specific teachings of the Buddha, you can point to, there are some phrases that point to awareness with no footing, things like that. So this is really, you know, the Thai forest is as far as I know, the one lineage in Theravadin that points to this kind of ground of being, one could say. And I recommend, by the way, highly recommend Joseph Goldstein's book, One Dharma, where he wrote that book because of certain things that didn't quite reconcile and fit, and seeing there's different ways to understand both the instructions and the teachings. So this is more, you know, perspective that you'd find in Vajrayana, in Tibetan practices, or in other practices. So whatever name we call it, it's just the human mind trying to describe that which cannot be named. So just relax and enjoy.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? There's one more over here we have time for.
So something I noticed in the practice when you had us pay attention to like the space that sensations were happening in and the space that sounds were happening in, as they seemed to
be... Here, hold it close.
Oh, sorry. The space that sensations were happening in and the space that sounds were happening in and the space that thoughts were happening in, those seemed to be like different spaces to me. And I could then like try to pull back and like, where am I aware of those spaces from? And that felt like something else too. And it was interesting and confusing, but I'm just wondering, like, how do we know what we should be pointing to or attending to? And like, I'm also confused, like, am I paying attention to this? Yeah, so I ultimately, like, should sounds be happening in the same space that thoughts and sensations are happening in, or is it?
You know, as it's said in the teachings, that there are six sense doors, and each experience comes from a sense object, like a sight or a sound or a thought. There is the organ, an eye or ear, etc., and there is consciousness that knows it, and the three coming together are called contact. And so there's eye consciousness and ear consciousness and mind consciousness. So one could say, for you, it felt like, oh, there's a different kind of consciousness that knows. Again, don't try to figure it out, but it can be a very interesting thing to see that contact of the object and the knowing of it, the object and the knowing of it, without trying to get to the bottom of it. In this practice, the way I see it, there's an awareness that is meeting each object. But for you, if it feels like it's a different space, then just to notice, oh, that's interesting, without trying to figure much out. Okay. Okay. So just a couple of things. First, about this practice, as I said, you can use it as feels supportive if you're very present and alert and there's and it feels right. You can move from tuning into the objects of awareness or attention to simply rest in the awareness itself, and notice how everything is arising and passing in that space of awareness. It's the spaciousness that this kind of practice gives can easily turn into spaciness. So that's the caution. And so if you find, I'm kind of out there lost in space, oh, time to come on back. What I find helpful when I do this is to just get a sense of the body sitting here without focusing on the body, but just being grounded in that outline of the connection, and just allowing things to come and go on their own. But you experiment. And the same thing, you can even do this as you're walking or as you're doing whatever you're doing, just tuning into the space of awareness in which this body is doing its thing and this mind is doing its thing. And it can be a very restful and freeing kind of way to connect with experience. Because instead of it's you doing the mindfulness, you are the awareness. Well, the awareness is receiving the experience, and it's more in the not doing and the just relaxing and allowing. And if it seems at any point like you're kind of lost, there's always the anchor to come back to, always the lifting of the foot and placing it and being grounded and once again trusting your optimal mode to connect with the experience. Okay, a few announcements. One is sometimes it's happened or it happens where people make eye contact and want to encourage. The noble silence is nonverbal as well as verbal. And so just notice if it happens just by itself, accidentally, you know, where eyes meet, don't give yourself a hard time. But notice if there's a pulling, a wanting to connect. Because when eyes meet, it can stir the mind up for some time. So you want to be really respectful of your space and other space. And if there is that impulse to make eye contact, notice the intention underneath. What's going on there? And hold it very kindly and mindfully. And please don't act on it. Another request is that when we're practicing, if the door is open, if you're the last or near the last in the room to leave, to close the door, for other people might be sitting, and to just keep it quiet in the hall. So after the rush hour or the rush moment at the end of a sitting, or if you're the last one to come in or near the end, just have the door closed so it's quiet here in the hall. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Enjoy your spacious, connected day.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.